For guys, size matters. But bigger is definitely not better for guys with overdeveloped breasts. The condition is called gynecomastia, and Dr. Frank Lista of the Plastic Surgery Clinic can help. Dr. Lista is a world-renowned plastic surgeon who has perfected the procedure that corrects gynecomastia with virtually no scarring. Visit theplasticsurgeryclinic.ca and size up your options for downsizing male breasts. Theplasticsurgeryclinic.ca.
He was never taught to keep his opinions to himself. That's why we love him. This is the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
We have a little bit of Kobe Bryant talk ahead in the 11 o'clock hour. Michael Grange has a terrific article up on the Sportsnet website, sportsnet.ca, talking about the end of isolationism. It's a great read. Kind of puts in basketball terms what Kobe Bryant's retirement means to the game. And Grange will join us at 11 o'clock. And we'll take your calls about Kobe Bryant. Where do you put him in your personal ranking of all time? NBA players. I've got a column up in sportsnet.ca right now. The lead items in Jay Happ. But I also touch a little bit on Kobe Bryant and why it's so difficult to sort of make cross-generational references or cross-generational comparisons in the NBA. I will say this. As someone who started watching basketball seriously because of Magic and Larry Bird, to me, Magic and Larry Bird will always be number two and number three behind Michael Jordan in my lifetime. I would put Kobe fourth again in my lifetime. I never saw Bill Russell play enough. I never saw Oscar Robertson play enough. I saw Wilt a bit. I never saw those old Knicks teams. So I can only go by what I saw as a basketball fan. And Kobe, to me, is definitely in the top five of what I saw. I don't know how we'd rate all time, but we'll get your calls on that, and we'll talk to Grange about that as well. That'll be in the next hour. But before we do that, the Toronto Maple Leafs, in particular Mike Babcock, finally, I've seen enough of Jonathan Bernier. Garrett Sparks gets a start in goal tonight for the Maple Leafs. It'll be his NHL debut. And here to talk to us about that is Hockey Night in Canada's analyst, Glenn Healy. Hello, Glenn.
What a turn of events for Garrett.
No, well, no kidding.
Friday's the backup for the Marlies. Saturday, he's charting faceoffs for Mike's team. And here we are Monday. He's playing against the Edmonton Oilers.
I mean, if you follow this progression, he gets a shutout tonight and becomes the number one goalie.
Well, now we're getting really ahead of ourselves.
Yeah,
seems like a really good kid, though. The Marlies played at the ACC on Saturday, and you know, he left the Leaf dressing room to go into the Marlies locker room, even though it was a tough loss for the Marlies, and just seemed really personable, had a kind of an air about him that was pretty pleasant. And I don't know him from Adam, but that was just my observation, and so... good on the kid. Give him a chance. I mean, if you switch goalies on Saturday night, the Leafs win. It's as simple as that. You can break the game down any way you want.
Mm-hmm.
Change nets. Hope he plays for the Leafs. They win.
But can you see why Mike Babcock stuck with Jonathan Bernier?
Well, you know, I think he's looking for the athlete to pull himself out of this. He's looking for the athlete to you know, find a little bit of a gain, whether it's a big save, whether it's a good period. It has to start with something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't put the result first. You can't say, okay, I've got to win tonight. No, you just have to make the first save, then the second, then the third, then get a period or 5 minutes under your belt without a goal against. And then it starts to get some momentum. But for Bernier, I mean, this has to be between the ears. He has got to be thinking about what has happened. The game is just, I've lost my game. And then you watched Holtby at the other end of the ice, and we showed it on Saturday. He's singing Cage the Elephant, Mess It Up, some song I've never even heard of. And he's down the other end singing it. I don't even know how he knows the words to it. But that just shows the psyche of two goalies that are at different parts of the world.
Glenn, as a former goalie, what would you tell Jonathan Bernier? What would you tell the Leafs to do with Jonathan Bernier? Because it seems to me that it seems that in some ways as if everybody's hands are kind of tied here, aren't they?
Well, yeah, because contractually you've got a player that nobody wants and you're stuck with. So your job is to get his game back. That's what coaches are supposed to do. For me, I pretty much every drill that I would do with that goaltender would be that he makes the save. I don't care if I have to put cones on the ice and keep players to the outside. Maybe I put the cones in the parking lot at the Air Canada Centre, whatever. Just find a way for this guy to start feeling good about his game, feel good about practice, feel good about feeling pucks. You know, I watched the Leafs in warm-up, and some of the guys are 25-foot slappers on their starting goalie. Mm-hmm. That was Billy Smith. You'd have to get a new helmet.
Yeah.
You know, warm-up is not for you. It's for the guy who's going to play that night. So there's some changes that you could make, but in the bottom line, it's up to the athlete to kind of look at it, not put the result first, and just find little victories within the game that he can build his confidence on. And only he can do it. You can draw it up any way you want. I think Mike said it best Saturday. You have your goalie coach, you know, do whatever he wants to do. At the end of it all, it's the goaltender that has to pull himself out of this.
Fundamentally, is Jonathan Bernier too small for the way the game is now?
No, I don't think so. We all go through this. It's mm-hmm. not like he's the only goalie that's ever gone through this, right? There's Brodeur went through it. I mean, I went through it many, many times in my career. Every goaltender I know has gone through stages like this. Mike Richter won the Stanley Cup in 94 and couldn't be the starting goalie in 1995. How does that happen? You just won the Cup. 54 years you've erased misery for three generations of Ranger fans, and he couldn't find his game the following year. It happens to every goaltender. And so it's up to that athlete, and it happens to every player. There are times when players just can't find their game, can't find the back of the net, can't defend. They're a minus player each night. So this is what being a pro is all about, and we'll see whether Jonathan can find a way to pull himself out of this. You know, there's no excuses for it. It is squarely on the player's shoulders. What I'd like to see more of is him in front of the camera owning it, saying, that's on me.
Mm-hmm.
That was a stinker of a game. I cost my team the game. The more accountability I see there, the more he looks internally on himself to change it versus, woe is me, the team doesn't score for me, we can't kill a penalty, they took too many bad penalties. Whatever the excuse should be, you look in the mirror.
In conversation with Glenn Healy of Hockey Night in Canada and the NHL and Sportsnet, we will have the Oilers and Leafs game tonight on Sportsnet Ontario. Our Hockey Central pregame will go at 7 p.m. puck drop just after 7:30 p.m. Leafs Nation postgame with Stelic and Hlushko right after the final horn on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. There is no Connor McDavid here, obviously. He's apparently rejoining the Oilers today in Toronto. He'll begin his rehab, and the reports are that he is back ahead of time, or he will be back ahead of time. Glenn, with Connor McDavid out of the lineup, I don't know any other way to ask you this question, but with Connor McDavid out of the lineup, how do we or how do Oilers fans know whether or not this team is getting any better?
Well, I think they aren't, would be the correct answer.
That would be the answer right there. I should have just asked you.
They're not.
They're not, okay.
The pieces that they have, it's a jigsaw puzzle that just doesn't quite fit. It's pieces that have talent but lack experience to go with the talent. So you have to get some experience. It is pieces that you could put on the ice, you could play well, you don't have a goalie. You need a goalie. It is a team that has a makeup that doesn't have star defensemen. And all the teams that have winning records and teams that win Stanley Cups, it's not complicated. There is a foundation as to how the team is built. And usually it's built with a stud center iceman, which would be McDavid. Then it's built with a really good defenseman. So in L.A., it'd be a Drew Doughty or it'd be a Duncan Keith. And that's built with a really good goaltender. And all those pieces, with McDavid out, are missing. So they're a collection of misfit toys that have lots of talent but don't have that structure of a team that allows you to win. And until they put all that together, and they'll be able to get those pieces because there's no question they have assets that they can trade to get some of them, until they put that together, this will be a team that's fun to watch at both ends of the ice.
Yeah, and I was going to say, I think one of the reasons bringing in a new coach and kind of changing the set of eyes that are viewing this team was so important is it does open the possibility, doesn't it, for a fresh evaluation of players. I mean, it's awfully hard for guys who've made draft picks and are kind of married to the development of particular players to necessarily take a step back and go, you know what, man, this isn't working out. It's a lot easier for guys to come in, take a look at it and go, yeah, I see what you were thinking, but it ain't what I'm thinking, and it might be time to move on.
Well, and the best example for me would be, you know, I was with the Islanders with Al Arbor and Bill Torrey. Bill Torrey would draft the players. He would give them to Al, who was probably one of the best coaches that in the world ever, and Al would then try to develop that player because it's one thing to draft them. Now you have to develop them, and he would develop the players, and at some point, Al would go to Bill and say, he's not a player. He can't play for me. Can't play in this league. And then it would be up to Bill to trade that player. And there have been many of them that Bill Torrey, a great architect of the Stanley Cup champion teams and a dynasty, he drafted Dave Chuzowski, second overall. Some point, they gave up on Dave. Said he was a great junior. We thought he had the numbers to make it an NHL career, and he couldn't do it. And I saw it with the New York Rangers. You know, Christian Dubé set a record for the most points in the Memorial Cup. We drafted him really high. Same thing. At some point, you have to step away from that player because he can't play at the pro level. And I think, you know, from Edmonton's standpoint, I don't think any of these guys aren't NHL players, but I just think that you could probably get NHL players that would be better fit to have more of a structure for your team than what they have.
All right. As someone who's between the benches, you're the perfect guy to ask about this. Now, John Tortorella said on Friday that the Penguins, quote, whine enough for the whole league. You're down there. Do the Penguins whine enough for the whole league?
No.
Are they the whiniest
wrong.
Team? They're
He's
not.
Wrong.
Okay.
He is dead wrong.
I'm surprised, by the way, that John Tortorella is wrong.
Yeah. In fact, Crosby, when he first came in the league, was full of chatter. I hardly hear anything from Sidney Crosby. You never hear anything from Malkin. And if you can tell me who else on that team whines, then I'm all ears. Because any time on our network that we get a chance to do the Pittsburgh Penguins, we jump at the chance to show the star appeal that team has. And that just is not the truth. That's not the truth. In fact, I hear more from John Tortorella behind the bench than probably most coaches in the league.
Perfect. Glenn, that's what we needed to hear. Thanks so much.
All right, good stuff, Jeffrey. Have a good week.
You too. It's Glenn Healy of Hockey Night in Canada and the NHL and Sportsnet. So there you go. I wanted to ask that question of somebody who's down in the ice because I saw Tortorella's comments. And, you know, as someone who, I admit, as someone who took a while to kind of come around in Sidney Crosby, I kind of had that feeling. Sidney Crosby was kind of a whiner. But, I mean, I grew up watching the Edmonton Oilers flog the Winnipeg Jets and then covering the Calgary Flames when they would play the Edmonton Oilers. And to this day, I still think Wayne Gretzky was whiny. Doesn't mean he wasn't a great player, but I still think he was whiny. It all depends on your point of view, I guess. But Healy's a perfect guy to ask about Sidney Crosby and whining. I think he's probably right. I, from a distance, would think that John Tortorella outwines Sidney Crosby any day. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. I want to talk a little bit about the Leafs ahead of tonight's game against the Edmonton Oilers. As we said, no Connor McDavid. We'll still have the game on Sportsnet Ontario. Hockey Central's pregame will be at 7 p.m. Puck drops just after 7:30. Stelikan Hlushko with the Leafs Nation postgame right after the final horn. Garrett Sparks gets a start in goal for the Maple Leafs. I don't know if there is anything the Leafs can do about Jonathan Bernier. Contractually, as you heard Glenn Healy say, there aren't a lot of options. But I know this. I really don't need to see him anymore. I don't need to see Jonathan Bernier anymore. Now I understand that James Reimer's health must be good to keep Jonathan Bernier away. I get that. I get that. So here's a question. I think we are safe when we say that a lot of players, a lot of Leafs players have shown progression under Mike Babcock. We've talked about Morgan Rielly, obviously, and Nazem Kadri. James Reimer. I don't know if it's down to Mike Babcock, but James Reimer. I don't know if I'd call him the best goalie in the world right now, as Don Cherry does, but James Reimer's pretty good right now. Who are the Leafs that you think have most noticeably regressed under Mike Babcock? I would think Jonathan Bernier has to be far and away the guy. But is there another Leafs player that you're looking at right now and you're going, yeah, I don't know if this guy's necessarily progressing under Mike Babcock. I don't know if this guy is necessarily going to be able to raise his game in this system. I don't know if Mike Babcock can get through to this guy. 416-870-0590, *591-888-660-590. It's entirely possible that you feel the only player who has regressed dramatically is Jonathan Bernier. Don in Toronto, you're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. What's up, Don?
Hey, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you perfectly, Don.
Okay, Jeff, good morning. I really like what Glenn was saying there about his experience in on the island.
Mm-hmm.
And how when they were developing these players and someone didn't pan out, they didn't go to the media and lower the value of the player. They went to the ownership and the GM.
Mm-hmm.
Things happen in the background. I don't know who Mike thinks he's serving by lowering the value of Bernier right now. We all knew coming into the season the kid was not going to be our number one. He had a crappy year last year. He hasn't regressed. He hasn't progressed. He's kind of what I thought he was.
Mm-hmm.
A backup. He's a backup coming out of L.A. who we were told at the time was the best backup not playing in the NHL as a number one starter, correct? That's
mm-hmm.
what we were told.
Yeah, he was the guy that everybody agreed would be a starter in any other team.
But we see that is not the case, agreed?
Right, totally.
Okay, so you know what, Mike? Keep your mouth shut. I love you. I love what you're doing here. I love some of the comments, but please, but get him out of town and get something back for him. Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, I... I don't know. I mean, I've heard Mike Babcock talk about Jonathan Bernier, and I've read the comments he's made about Jonathan Bernier. I don't know if he has. And you're right. I mean, fundamentally, one of the things I didn't like about Ron Wilson and to a certain degree Randy Carlyle was I thought that. As a reporter, you want your head coach to be glib. You want him to fill up your notebook. As a fan and a general manager, beyond the entertainment value of it, I would just as soon you not say anything because I may have to trade that guy at some point. I'm not a big believer in doing anything other than talking up the value of your player. But I think in the case of Jonathan Bernier, there's a couple of things that work here. I think Mike Babcock is in a position where he needs to reinforce some messages that he is sending out to his other players. I think the comments you hear about Jonathan Bernier aren't meant for the media. They're not meant for fans. They're not meant for Jonathan Bernier. I think they're meant for everybody else in the team. You know, we talked about how Mike Babcock wants to create this culture change around the Leafs and this sense of responsibility and the idea that the future is really good and the idea that there is a new way of doing things and that stuff that was done last year, that just doesn't work anymore. And in some ways, I think he looks at what Jonathan Bernier is going through right now. This is a teachable moment for other people in this team. If Mike Babcock doesn't be a little harsh on Jonathan Bernier, that's going to lead to the whole, the Leafs, all they really want to do is tank and get a good draft pick. This, to me, is part of Mike Babcock changing the culture in this team and telling his players that, you know what, these games matter. These games matter a lot. I don't like when we lose because we've given up an easy goal. I don't care what it means to where we are in the standings. I don't care if the fans, if there are some fans out there who are happy because we lost a game and that increases our chances at a good draft position, or it increases our chances, you know, at getting a really good young player. I don't want that thought to set in, because that goes against what I am trying to do in terms of culture change. Deep down, Mike Babcock may want his team to lose every game, and for the next 2 years, so he can get a chance at some good players. I doubt that. But deep down, he may want to do that. But he can't say that, because you can't tell your players, it's a new day, there's a new culture around here, we're more responsible, we're on the up and up, we're going in the right direction, and Jonathan Bernier is starting tonight. I mean, you can't do that if you're Mike Babcock. So I think all of this is aimed at the dressing room as a whole, as opposed to anything else. John and Kleinberg, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
Good.
You know what, from what games I've seen, this was supposed to be, you know, Babcock was the coach that was going to elevate the game of both, Morgan Riley and Jake Gardner. I mean, Riley's been, he's been awesome. In the games I've seen him play, the kid's been playing really, really well. You know, you can see him, he's making a difference. Whereas Gardner has still been pretty vanilla, you know, and if Babcock can't get through to him, you know, who can, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I agree. But, you know, I think Jake Gardner, I keep going back to the comment that Mike Babcock made after the game against Nashville. And, the conversation was about how good Nashville's defense was and how they built from the back, yada, 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 et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that to me suggested that Jake Gardner really has a place in this team. And I like what I'm seeing on the back end of this team. I like what I'm seeing in terms of the development, in terms of especially the decision making on the part of guys like Morgan Riley and Jake Gardner. That to me may be the best job, along with Nazem Kadri. I think that might be the best job Mike Babcock has done, the best individual player job Mike Babcock has done here. Brad and Thornhill, you're on Sportsnet 590 Fan. What's up, Brad?
Hey, how's it going, bud?
Good.
Pretty good. Hey, you know, just like I just wanted to say, as far as who's regret, I don't think anyone else has really regret beyond Don Bernier.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you look at Dion Phaneuf right now, nobody's really complaining about him, and no one wants to really admit it, but playing pretty solid back there as well. You know, you don't notice him a lot of nights, which is a good thing. And I just think with the goaltenders, especially Bernier, I mean, he definitely makes some mental blunders, and I think a lot of it's mental, but you have to remember, I mean, you've got a whole new coaching, a whole new regime in the back end. You've got new goaltender coaches. I mean, there may be a bit of an adjustment period too, and I think we shouldn't give up on him so early, because he does have a lot of upside. And maybe he's a backup. Maybe he's a good backup. Maybe he's not a starter, but it doesn't mean you have to run him out of town. I think we got to hold on to him because he's still an asset and give him a chance. I mean, Carey Price had a horrible start to the season. People were talking about trading him a couple of years back, and, you know, obviously they didn't. But, goaltenders can be up and down like that, and sometimes you have to hold on and kind of see it to the end and, you know, not just panic and rush him out of town. So, you know, with Bernie, I still think he has a lot of upside. It doesn't look so good for him at this point, but, you still have to kind of hold on and see what you got a little longer. It's a little too early to be panicking, in my opinion.
Yeah, Brad, I appreciate the call. I don't know how many people, and this is kind of the interesting, I don't know how many people are really panicking. It's kind of enjoyable talking about the Leafs this year, because I think we all know what's going on here. We're all aware of what the end game is. We're all on board with taking the long-term view. I think this is a in some ways, this might be the most comfortable time to be a Leafs fan we've seen in, what, 15 years, 20 years? There's no pressure. They're not causing you to throw jerseys on the ice. Every win is a thing to be celebrated. We're not whining about the team captain because finally a coach has looked at him and said, yeah, second pair defenseman. I think it's a pretty comfy fan base right now. So I think that even though Jonathan Bernier is going through the stretch, you get calls like that. You get, hey, wait a minute. Why are we running this guy out of town? To what point? There's nothing you can do. He's here. He's under contract. He ain't going anywhere. Let's try to coach him up. Not just let him sit in the press box. You think about it. I would enjoy this if I were you. I enjoy being able to have a discussion with Leafs fans, and we're not, it's not that you're not emotionally invested. You're a fan. You pay your money, you buy the swag, you go to the games, you watch the games. You're emotionally invested. Leafs win, you feel better. Leafs lose, you don't feel as good. But it's not the same, is it? It's not the same. The total lack of drama surrounding this team is such, and think about this, the total lack of drama around this team is such that the big issues so far have been whether Peter Holland and whether Jonathan Bernier. That is a pretty damn good year from where I sit. You know who we need to hear from?
The Leafs played last night, so you know what that means.
Oh, Dangle
Dial. The Dangle Dial is brought to you by Panago. Live, love, and eat fresh pizza.
Oh, this is great. There he goes. Hey, what's
Jeff,
up, man?
I'm calling because I'm looking for something. Can you help me?
Huh?
All right,
sure.
Thanks. Here, just look all around the studio. Check under your keyboard. Check under your chair. Check everywhere. I need to see if we have the receipt for Ben Scrivens. This is really important, Jeff. Bernier hasn't been doing well. But you know what? Nope. We can't panic.
I got a grocery list here.
Garrett Sparks, he's coming into the net. And it's a big deal.
Some Kleenex here with Lundell.
We need him to do a good job, and he's earned the shot. Let me tell you something. This is actually very interesting. Garrett Sparks was drafted by the Leafs. So was James Reimer. This will be the first time the two Leafs drafted goalies will actually play for the Leafs in the same season.
What?
Since 98-99 when Pot Van and Jeff Reese combined for 7 games. Fun little factoid. There you go. It's my little gift to you.
That's
now find me that
great
receipt.
Gift. I mean, I actually learned something from the Dangle Dial. It's tremendous. The Dangle Dial, by the way, is brought to you by Panago Pizza. Live, love, Travis, I'm talking about you. Live, love, and eat fresh pizza. Check out the Steve Dangle blog at sportsnet.ca for Steve's NHL videos and podcasts, including more of his thoughts on Jonathan Bernier. So Kobe Bryant announced on the Players' Tribune that he's calling it a career. Everybody announces on the Players' Tribune that they're calling it a career. Nobody talks to a favored reporter or a favored media personality anymore. Everybody announces it. If you're a person of consequence, everybody announces it on the Players' Tribune. I'm fine with that. I'm also fine with the little note that Kobe gave out to ticket holders at the Lakers game. Even though I know that there's, if you look at it very carefully, there's a little mark on it, which suggests, you know, Kobe's whole hero villain thing that he's been riffing on in the past 48 hours. And my sneaking suspicion is we may be seeing a shoe deal or something coming up. But anyhow, all that aside, Kobe Bryant is calling it quits. I mentioned in my column on sportsnet.ca, I don't know how you compare basketball players across the generations. The game has changed so much. Athletes have changed so much. Grainger's got a great piece out on the Sportsnet website about the end of isolationism. You got to read it. It's all about what Kobe Bryant's departure means to the NBA and why Kobe Bryant is kind of a fish out of water right now. So we'll talk to Grange about that at 11 o'clock. But when we come back, I want you to tell me where you rank Kobe Bryant. And you know what? Let's start with Magic and Bird up to now. Because I don't want to give short shrift to Bill Russell, to the Big O, to Wilt Chamberlain, to Pete Maravich. I don't want to give short shrift to them. I just tell you, I didn't see enough of those guys play. I didn't see enough of those guys play to get into an argument about where Bill Russell ranks with all these other guys. So let's start Magic Bird and work our way back. Where do you put Kobe Bryant? And there's an argument out there that Kobe Bryant isn't even as good as Tim Duncan. Different players, they played for different teams. But if you take a look at their list of individual awards, if you take a look at their list of titles, it's pretty much equivalent. I think Kobe scored like 6,000 more points, but he's also taken about 6,000 more shots. Kobe Bryant has retired. Where does he rank on your list of NBA players, starting with Magic Johnson, Bird, and moving backwards? We'll take your calls when the Jeff Blair Show returns on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
And let's go to our Sportsnet 590, The Fan newsroom, where we have breaking news. Andrew Nye?
Yes, Jeff. By this time next week, he'll be out 2 months. The number just keeps going up for the Montreal Canadiens, who have just announced Carey Price will be out a minimum of 6 weeks now with that lower body injury. Good news, I suppose, is that he will not require surgery. So Mike Condon has the job for at least a month and a half. Jeff.
There you go. Andrew Nye at Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Carey Price out for a minimum of 6 weeks. But as Mr. Nye said, the good news if you're a Canadiens fan is there is no surgery required in that lower body injury. And, you know, when we talked about this last week with Ren Lavoie, really, if you're the Montreal Canadiens, you're not worried about this. It's all about winning the Stanley Cup. If Carey Price needs 6 weeks off to rest and finally heal that injury, that's fine. You have no problem with that, because it's all about what you're going to do in the spring. Just think about what a rested Carey Price might be like in the spring. I mean, I would never say a guy being out for 6 weeks is the best case scenario, but you know what? At least it appears as if the Montreal Canadiens have decided that they are going to buy as much time as they can before getting Carey Price back in the lineup. So if you're a Canadiens fan, to me, this is good news. If you're a Canadiens fan with a long-term view, to me, this is good news. 416-870-0590, *590, 888-666-0590. Michael Grange will join us at 11 o'clock. Jason Beck, who covers the Tigers, he'll be along. The Tigers signed Jordan Zimmerman to a 5-year, $110 million contract. And Troy Rank is the Broncos beat writer at the Denver Post. He's going to join us at 11:40. The Broncos beating the Patriots in overtime. And, poor Tom Brady. He's got no running backs left. He's got no receivers left. He's got absolutely nobody he can get the ball to after that game. And we'll talk to Troy Rank about the Broncos, who, made a bit of a statement, I think, last night. But before we do that, I want to continue our conversation about Kobe Bryant and where he ranks. I'm going to say amongst NBA players, starting with the Magic Bird era, because I don't know how we can compare the other guys. I don't know how we can compare other guys, guys like Oscar Robertson and Wilt and Bill Russell. You know, guys like Bob Ryan will tell you that people who never saw Bill Russell play fundamentally underrate how good he was at the time that he played. And I don't think that's fair to those guys. So this isn't to give them short shrift, but this is to ask the question. Starting with Magic, where do you put Kobe amongst the best NBA players you've seen? Michael's got to be number one. As much as I love the Celtics and Larry Bird, Magic was number two. I got Bird number three. Then it gets interesting. As my producer, Travis McKenzie, said, what about LeBron? Even though LeBron's career isn't over, even though the body of work is not complete, has there been a more dominant player than LeBron? What about Tim Duncan? Check the numbers. Check the awards. Check the championships. Is he in that discussion? What about Karl Malone? There's a name that doesn't get mentioned a lot. Now, granted, Karl Malone doesn't have the same pedigree in terms of championships that Kobe Bryant has. So where do you rank these guys? 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. Phil in Hamilton, you're on Sportsnet 590 Fan. What's up, Phil?
Hey, Jeff, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Appreciate no problem.
Our lists, yours and mine, are pretty much twins. The only thing that I would add to my number four slot, and I'll go back and make my little comment about Michael Jordan, who I think to me is the best all time, even though I hated him because I was a Pistons fan. Or am a Pistons fan. My number four is Kareem. So we'll start with yours. Definitely with Michael on the number one slot. I'll go Magic number two, Larry Bird three. Four, I'm going to go Kareem.
Okay.
I'm going to throw my other Laker guy that I hated to watch, but, you know, also love to watch just because. And number five, I'm going to give, now that Kobe's heading into his retirement official status, I guess, or unofficial status, I'll give it to five. And then you're right, it's tough because you got LeBron out there basically in the last 5 years, ultimately the greatest player to play the game. Because he's not in retirement mode and probably has, you know, another 5 to potential 7 year benchmark to play. And he'll be riding on the heels of Kobe. Then they'll have the, you know, every prognosticator is going to have them flip flopping between five and six. And maybe, you know, LeBron jumps up to number one. You know, maybe he does bump Michael off there. The only problem I have with all of them is Michael. Jordan, to me, why I put him way above heads or tails everybody else, is what he did for everybody else. Would Scottie Pippen in today's game be as effective as he was with Michael with a LeBron?
Ooh,
I don't think so.
No way. I think you're right.
Right. Okay. Would he be as efficient if he was with Dwayne Wade? A lot of selfishness there in Dwayne Wade's game. I doubt it.
Yeah.
I look at Michael's body of his scoring. But what Michael also did is, as he transitioned in age, he made his game change. And this is what it has me concerned about, or lack of concern so much for Kobe, is that he's been injury riddled the last three seasons. I think somebody say that he's got, what, maybe 40 games under his belt the last 3 years. The problem with Kobe, which is why he becomes a little bit unlikable, is he didn't change his game to become that guy that said, okay, I'm going to stop complaining about you haven't signed anybody for me to play with, but become that guy that finds someone else to play with.
Right.
And maybe your career lasts a little bit longer. Stop being the go-to guy, which Michael, if you look at his later part of his career, you know, he became the dish guy, you know, like 400 assists a game type guy. Michael didn't go to the rim all the time. He found different ways as he aged to progress his game and continue to be, a huge part of the game. You know, yeah, he still got, you know, an average of 20 points a game, but he wasn't going to do the 55-point game a night thing anymore when he got older.
No, and he focused a lot of his energy on playing good defense. And I know Kobe's a good defensive player. I would never take that away from him, but to your point about Michael, as part of that transition, he became a better defensive player.
Yeah, which is why I hated him even more.
Right? Exactly.
Like I'm not a freaking Bulls fan at all.
Yeah.
I hated the guy, but don't get me wrong. If he ever would have made this route into a Pistons jersey, even when he was 91 years of age, I would have loved it. But at the end of the day, I love to hate the guy because he did everything he possibly could on the field, football guy here talking, and transitioned his game perfectly as he went on about his career and got older and changed. It's just, it's why the reasons why Kobe becomes, he's got that little asterisk of being unlikable because he didn't change his game. He always still wanted to be the go-to guy. And, you know, the constant complaining about, woe's me, you know, you didn't sign, you know, Steve Nash was a bust. Dwight Howard was a bust. You brought me all these mamalukes.
And, yeah, I love it.
He didn't change his game.
Yeah, I loved the comment from Dwight Howard yesterday when he was asked, and thanks for the call, Phil. We got to move on. I love the comment from Dwight Howard last night when he was asked about that. Next question. What was it like playing with Kobe? Next question. Kevin in Brantford, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Good morning, Jeff. How are you today?
Good, sir.
Good. I agree a lot of what the previous caller was saying. Michael Jordan, above and beyond, he's the greatest, in my opinion, that's ever played the game. McGowan once said that Jordan was that guy that when you were walking by the TV, you would stop and watch because he had that ability to just do things that just kind of was like shock and awe. It was just, you know, he could bring you out of your seat. There was just nobody who's ever played the game that was quite like him. But the thing I'll say about Kobe is I would put him in my top five, and I'll say this. In every sport, you know, in every league, I should say, there is a team that we kind of identify. You know, in baseball, it's the Yankees. In football, it's the Cowboys. In basketball, it's the Lakers. And Kobe has played there his whole career. And the pressure of playing for a team like that, it's like playing in hockey for the Leafs. I mean, it's an immense amount of pressure to play for the Lakers, for Kobe. And he's done it, won, what, five championships with them. He's done amazing things with that organization. And I will say that in a sport like no other, one player can have such a dramatic effect on the outcome of a team. I mean, you need to look no further than Cleveland. 2 years ago, they were the worst team in the league. They were able to draft Wiggins. And then they get LeBron back, and they go to the NBA championships the next year. I mean, it just shows you how amazing one guy can have such a difference. And I will say, I think that over Kobe's career, he's put up great numbers, put up amazing stats, and he's done it under the bright lights of playing for arguably that league or the NBA sort of premier team and being in the Lakers. And I think that there's a lot of pressure that gets put on that where you were talking about like Malone. Well, Malone played on a team that basically was non-existent. Nobody knew what
right.
they were doing from 1 year to the next, and nobody cared. But when you're playing for the Lakers, everybody knows what you're doing, and it's just that way. And I think that that's a big part of it, and there's a lot of pressure that goes along with that. So I think for that reason, I think Kobe should get a nod to be in that top five.
Kevin, I appreciate the call. Yeah, I think most of us are going to agree on the top five. I really do. And I think the big caveat, of course, is LeBron James. I think when LeBron is done, he'll probably have surpassed Kobe. But your point's well made about Kobe kind of being the face of the franchise that sort of personified, or the franchise that was sort of the marquee franchise in the NBA, the consistent marquee franchise in the NBA, or one of the consistent marquee franchises in the NBA. Even while the Spurs were winning, I mean, people still, you know, you ask people, Spurs fan or Lakers fan? I'd be willing to bet there were more Lakers fans than Spurs fans. Michael Grange of Sportsnet has a terrific column on the website on sportsnet.ca about Kobe Bryant. We'll continue our discussion on Kobe Bryant with Michael Grange when the Jeff Blair Show returns on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Now Jeff Blair can tell you bedtime stories. Subscribe to podcasts of the Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher and listen anytime you want. Sweet dreams. Sportsnet 590, The Fan on demand.